You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
Final hour of the show here on a Tuesday with Faxon Childress and John Haidt on 105.5-97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. Texter Shane from Greenville says, we got to get Faxon off the stuff. Did you hear what he just said about Arch? Listen, I talk with a lot of NFL people pretty consistently. I'm telling you what I'm hearing. I'm telling you what I'm seeing with my eyes. I'm always honest. I'm not always right. I'm not always wrong. I think Arch is a top 20 pick if he declares tomorrow. I would declare if I were him. I don't think that any of these quarterbacks are going to be worth a lot at the next level. But with the Will Stein news specifically, I think that makes the decision very easy for Dante Moore to declare for the NFL draft. And when I look at Texas as well and what Arch has put on tape the last, let's say, 6 to 8 weeks to avoid the old 6-7, whatever, I would declare. I would go. I think it's more than enough to go, and I think in a weak quarterback class where there's a lot of speculation as to who's going to go at the top, the Manning last name combined with 6 good weeks of tape against SEC play and arguably the first time all year that you're healthy, I think that's enough to go. That's just my opinion. Maybe the kid stays in school. Maybe he's got somebody in his ear telling him to stay in school. But I don't think that the Texas situation has been very good at all this year. They have ran the ball outside of a top 75 level in all of FBS. Their offensive line's pass protection has been subpar in comparison to the rest of the Power Four. They have one real receiver that projects the NFL level, and Arch has still carried that team. Like, people have the narrative completely misconstrued on Texas. Arch is the reason they're 9-3. Arch is the reason that they are in the college football playoff conversation. He's a really good player, whether people realize that or not. And after the first couple weeks where even I was very critical, he stopped wincing when he's throwing the ball, and he's been uber productive ever since. Texas's last couple games, we can run through a quick Arch Manning game log, and I get that a lot of people kind of wrote him off very quickly. Arch has 3,000 yards, 24 touchdowns, and 7 picks this year in the SEC with a very poor supporting cast in comparison to his peers. Here's Arch Manning after the Red River rivalry game where he went 21 of 27 for 166 and a touchdown with 4 rushes for 34 yards. 6-7 plus 4 is 11. 12 touchdowns and 2 picks for Arch Manning in his last 6 games against SEC competition. 3 of those teams have been top 10. 2 of those teams have been top 5. He also has added 4 more touchdowns on the ground with almost 100 rushing yards total in those games as well. And that is with a bottom 10 pass protecting unit in P4 at Texas, no run game at all, and a defense that has floundered against Vanderbilt where he had to carry his team, Georgia where he had to carry his team, and Arkansas where he had to carry his team. Oh, and his defense also gave up 38 at Mississippi State where Arch went 29 for 46 for 346 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, again, I call it how I see it. I was critical at the beginning of the year because I wasn't bought in. I think it's very evident if you hit the hard reset button after the Red River rivalry and you turn on the tape, it is a different player post-Red River than it was pre-Red River with Arch Manning. Again, I'm just giving my opinion. You don't have to take that as the truth at home. It's what I get paid to do. Let's get William in here on, looks like some Lenora Sellers discourse and some South Carolina discourse. William, good to hear from you. Appreciate the phone call. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving, brother.
I did. Hope you did, too. My thing about Lenore Sellers is this. As long as he doesn't declare and declare soon, that's a dangly little bit him and Nick Harbor that Shane Beamer can put in front of potential offensive coordinators to possibly get us a much better coordinator than we had.
Yeah, I do think that's very, very attractive for potential offensive coordinators, William, and I think that's a great point. I mean, you look across the country and you give an OC an opportunity to coach what could be the number one quarterback coming out in next year's class in Sellers that has unbelievable freakish athletic traits, and then the same to be said about Harbor, who I don't think is overly polished, but again, when have we seen an athlete like that at that position? The answer might be never, as far as like a 6'4 true track star speed type of guy goes. So yeah, I think that's a great point that you make, William. I think it's very attractive for those two players specifically, but I think the other side of that coin, William, which you do have to acknowledge, is if both of those guys do choose the NFL route, then what is the calling card for that job? And that becomes a bigger question at that point.
Truly, most true. Thank you for taking my call. You have a great day, okay?
For sure. Hey, William, call back in more often. We appreciate you, man. Thank you. Yeah, I think that's a double-edged sword, John, is the way that I view it. Like, if you have Sellers and Harbor coming back, I would want to go coach that team next year and try and bolster up the portal offensive line and just see if you can make something viable without those two. Is Cutter Woods your quarterback? Is Aaron Nolan your quarterback? Who's playing receiver? Is Sellers' brother transferring? Like, all of these things have to be asked.
There's multiple things that will take place on that front. I think the thing you worry about, though, if you are to bring him and Harbor back, is I think it may put South Carolina in some of the same predicament they had this year. And especially if you want to pay Stewart to come back for another campaign. How much money is there to go around to actually upgrade the rest of this roster? How much money is there to go around for another offensive coordinator? Also, who are you getting? OC, maybe player, combo, whatever. When it looks like Shane Beamer's on his last leg. I wouldn't be surprised if I'm an OC. Like, I would much rather go be brought on to Ryan Silverfield's staff at Arkansas than I would be Shane Beamer's at South Carolina, because I know there's going to be more time. You know, if I have the option to join John Summerall's staff or Shane Beamer's, I'm going to John Summerall's of Florida.
Oh, immediately.
Because you have more time.
And you have more job security.
Exactly. So I agree with Williams' original part of the call. The Sellers thing needs to be decided soon. Even though the portal isn't open until January 2nd, you need to know whether he's in the fold or he is going to be playing elsewhere, whether that's another school or if he's going pro. You need to figure that out as soon as possible because, yeah, he's 100% right. Selling that job to an OC is a lot different if you're selling Sellers and Harbert than if you're selling that job without. Versus a rebuild of 9 of the 11 versus a rebuild of the 11 positions on the offense. Yeah, that's a huge part. Well, maybe 10. I think Thompson at left tackle is fine.
I'm just perplexed, in all honesty, by that dynamic down there in Columbia. I think it's fair to assess the situation right now by saying that Shane Beamer is likely entering next season on the hot seat, and that is going to come with some trepidation taking that job for potential offensive coordinators. But with that being said, he has showcased that there is 9-win upside there as recently with that quarterback as 2 years ago. So it's hard to evaluate without answers as to who's playing quarterback is what I would say. In a couple weeks, hopefully we'll have a little bit clearer of a depiction as to who the starting quarterback's going to be in Columbia in 2026, and if or if not, that's going to be Lenora Sellers. And I think that the discourse can come then as to who the potential offensive coordinator could be. I know one thing, I wouldn't go internal. I know the last couple weeks were better, but I just think that that might be a slap in the face to the fan base at this point if you go internal with how the Shula situation transpired. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens down in Columbia for sure. 654-ROAR is the number. We're going to branch out into some more coaching hires. I think Kentucky made an A-plus hire. Unfortunately, it's still Kentucky football. So I don't know how much it's going to matter in totality. But, John, if you want to look at one of the most, what I think I would make the argument, the best coordinator in the country the last 3 years has been Will Stein at Oregon. He completely transcended Bo Nix's career and got him drafted in the first round. He was responsible for Dylan Gabriel's best season of his career, conducted a unit to an undefeated season and a Big Ten championship with the number one seed in the college football playoff. They lost in the playoff to the inevitable national champion Ohio State Buckeyes. And then this year has a first-time starter in Dante Moore, who's now receiving number one overall pick type of hype in the NFL ranks after just, what, 12 career games now at this point? This was one of the hottest names for me for a while in the head coaching carousel, and I think Kentucky knocked it out of the park. What are your evaluation? Where's your evaluation right now on the Wildcats? Were you surprised that they fired Stoops? And what did you think about the replacement hire in Will Stein?
I wasn't surprised that they fired Stoops. I was a little surprised by the timing. I guess you had to get all the money together because a lot of that was due. I think all of it's due within the first 60 days. Because I would have thought they would try to make a run at Kentucky grad John Summerall. But then again, I don't know if they had the money to compete with Florida or even Auburn at that part of the search. No, I think it's a great move to go opposite of Mark Stoops, to go to Will Stein, a young, up-and-coming offensive mind, one that I think will want to be at Kentucky. Like, I don't think you're hiring someone who believes that his dream SEC job is Florida, for example. It's a kid who grew up in the state of Kentucky, whose dad played at Kentucky, who spent time in his childhood in the stands watching Kentucky football. It's funny that he played at Louisville, but this is a Kentucky guy. I think it makes a ton of sense. I think this is a good first step for him in his head coaching career. And I'll be interested to watch Kentucky over the next couple of years as they try to redefine themselves.
Yeah, it's going to be a complete reinventing the wheel type of thing for Kentucky. You're going from an older, veteran, seasoned coach in Mark Stoops. That's
the winningest coach in school history.
Yeah, like he's elevated Kentucky's programs to heights that we didn't think were possible, and you can get your jokes off if you want to, but at the end of the day, he's had Kentucky football significantly more relevant than they've ever been in the modern era in the last decade or so. And now you're going young, and you're going offensive mind, and I like it, and I trust his ability to develop Boldy if he chooses that to be his quarterback. But it's going to be about recruiting, and it's going to be about influxing that defense with talent, influxing that offensive line with talent. And again, not to sound like Sankey, but you are playing against some of the best teams in the country on a week-to-week basis. Like, have you taken a gander at Kentucky's schedule next year? It's absolute murderer's row. This is what Kentucky is going to be facing up against in 2026.
Reminder, this is the SEC just did home and aways for the first 2 years, so now everybody's getting new schedules next year in terms of an opponent draw.
They've got Louisville. Well, let's start with Youngstown State in South Alabama. Then they've got Louisville, Bama, Florida, LSU, Vandy, Missouri, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas A&M. Oh my gosh.
Those aren't dates, right? Those are just the list of opponents.
That's just the list of opponents. The first three are chronological.
Louisville ain't going to be the third game of the season. That'll be the final game. Okay, just wanted to make sure that
Louisville's on November 28th. Release. Yeah, no, but those are the opponents. Bama's going to be preseason top 10. LSU's going to be preseason top 10. Vandy's going to be preseason top 20. Missouri's probably going to be preseason top 25. Oklahoma's probably going to be preseason top 10. Tennessee's going to be preseason top 25. And Texas A&M's probably going to be preseason top 5. Oof. Welcome to the SEC, Will. Good luck. Good luck would be my message there. Texter says, do you still think Stoops would have been fired if he beat Louisville? Yeah, I think it was time. I think it was time. Have you seen the details on his buyout where he's going to get his full buyout in the next 60 days? Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's why everyone has said for years in this industry that Mark Stoops has the best contract in football.
Man, getting $30+ million just direct deposit, it has to be a euphoric feeling. That it's got to be absolutely unreal if you're Mark Stoops, for sure. All right, we're going to take an early break here because I've got much to discuss on the other side, John. I want to start getting into some of these conference championship matchups and start giving our takeaways on that. Also want to talk a little bit more hoops and get into some NFL. 654-ROAR is the number. We're taking all phone calls and texts for the remainder of the program with Faxon and John on the Roar.
It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram at Lake Kiwi Ford, and my team's ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, we got you covered with over 500 vehicles available. And we're tackling high prices with huge discounts, like saving up to $15,000 off a new F-150 or a Ram 1500. Plus, Lake Kiwi is blocking high interest rates with attractive financing. So make the winning drive, Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or Lake Kiwi Ford, or you can shop us all online at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. That's LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford, where Mark's team is ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, they've got you covered with over 500 vehicles ready for delivery. And Lake Kiwi's tackling high prices with new trucks discounted up to $15,000. Yes, you can save up to $15,000 on a new truck at Lake Kiwi, and they've got a bunch of them to choose from. So make the winning drive to Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford. They're between Clemson and Seneca, and always open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. See dealer for details.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
At Blue Ridge Heating and Air, comfort and flexibility go hand in hand. For a limited time, choose the savings that fit your budget best. With 60 months no interest financing or a $2,000 rebate upfront on select heat pumps, which can qualify for federal tax credits and electric company rebates. That's 5 years interest free or $2,000 or more back in your pocket. Call today and find out which option works best for you at BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Blue Ridge Heating and Air, a preferred Armstrong Air dealer.
When downtime isn't an option, you need a team that knows motors inside and out.
Doug Powell and his team at IMS are knowledgeable, dependable, fast, and always willing to work around our needs. Doug's just a phone call away and always ready with valuable advice.
From repairs to replacements, Industrial Motor Service keeps your operation moving with trusted expertise and responsive service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com today. Industrial Motor Service, keep your power in motion.
Do you need to reboot your style? If your work boots kick the bucket, then get to Harrison. We're the boot capital of the world with more in-stock boots than anyone. Work boots, western boots, hiking boots, rain boots, and plenty of wow boots. Job site, rodeo, tailgate, honky-tonk, Harrison's has boots for all walks of life. But if you need to put your best foot forward, stop by Harrison, the home of work, western, and wow! Come see us in Malden and Sparkburg or shop online at harrisonsusa.com. Boots you're after, Harrison's has them.
Attention student athletes. Don't let injury or surgery keep you on the sidelines longer than it should. Get back in the game faster with Ortho Laser Spartanburg. Our state-of-the-art FDA-approved laser therapy is the strongest on the market, designed to reduce swelling, relieve pain, and speed up recovery. And now, with special student pricing, there's no better time to heal smarter, not harder. Whether you're in high school or college, Ortho Laser is here to help you return to peak performance. Visit our website, recoverwithlight.com. Get back in the game with Ortho Laser Spartanburg.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
Contractors, we know what it takes to build something great. Long days, hard work, and the right materials. At Harbin Lumber Company, we're here to make sure you've got everything you need to get the job done. Since 1917, we've been your trusted partner in building dreams, from framing lumber to finished materials. When you work with Harbin, you're not just getting quality supplies, you're getting a team that's got your back. Visit one of our local lumber yards today, and let's build dreams together.
This Wednesday night, the Clemson Tigers are on the road, heading down to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. This being part of the ACC-SEC Challenge and a rematch of an elite matchup just a few years ago, Clemson looks to make a statement with a win. Broadcast begins at 6:45, with 7:15 being the tip-off. Catch it all right here on the Clemson Athletic Network.
We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Oh, no.
Ah, that's the sound of someone who's misplaced...
My debit card.
Their debit card.
Where did I leave that thing?
Not at the gas pump, or the checkout counter, or the roof of your car. Now, if he has the Chase mobile app, he can use Card Lock.
Wait, I could just lock my card.
Yep, just a few tippy taps on his phone, and... that sound? That's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Roar, now offering great sports talk around the clock. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Final hour of the show continues with Vax and Childress and John Hyde on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Appreciate everybody that's gotten in with us throughout the course of the program today. 654-ROAR is the number if you would like to check in. A couple texts getting in saying, do you think Clemson will be in the top 25 next season in the preseason? I got to see the roster. I got to see the quarterback. Tentative yes towards the bottom of the top 25 would be my answer right now. I think Clemson's going to be the on-paper number two in the ACC next year behind Miami. But again, there's so much volatility with roster churning nowadays. Like, maybe James Franklin strikes gold and raids Penn State's recruiting class and roster, and Virginia Tech's looking like a power. Maybe a couple of these other schools that have coaching carousel type of candidates make great hires, and they bring in an influx of talent, or they bring a quarterback. You know, Mensah might stay in school at Duke. Mensah might be going to the NFL or hitting the portal. Like, all these things are things to be considered. Right now, I would say tentative yes in the 20s, but I've got to see the roster. It's a really good question, though, Texter. Appreciate you checking in with that. Texter says, can you give our Panthers a few minutes? We finally get our bye week and then have three games in a row. Yeah, we can transition to some NFL here in this segment. 654 Roar if you want to get in with NFL questions. Obviously, it goes without saying. We got to it briefly yesterday. Biggest win for the Panthers in the last like six seasons, maybe even back to eight seasons ago. They beat the number one seed Rams, who were the Super Bowl favorites, 31-28. Bryce Young was phenomenal. He threw all three of his touchdown passes on third and fourth down, including a clutch game-sealing, just unbelievable dime over the shoulder of Teteroa McMillan. And with that game-winning drive from Bryce Young, he's made some NFL history. He is the youngest player in the history of the league to get to 11 game-winning drives now. Since entering the league, he has a 48% win rate by trailing by seven or less in the fourth quarter. Only Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts have a better win percentage in that tenure as well. And again, when Dave Canales actually allows the guy to throw the ball, this is a pretty good team. Rico Dowdle, Chuba Hubbard, they did a good job on the ground, just kind of mainstaying throughout the course of this game. 40 carries, 20 passing attempts. This is what the Panthers' attack needs to look like. It needs to be a balanced attack where the run game is the priority, and you are using Bryce as the complementary piece in the passing game, because he really only has two real weapons in Teteroa McMillan and Jalen Coker. But I thought that Canales did a much better job of balancing the game plan this week. I thought the fourth down throw was the best of Bryce's career. He threw Tet open. That was not the primary read on the play. He went for gold and he got gold. And the defense forced a couple big turnovers. They got to Stafford, who had only turned the ball over three times all year coming into the game. Turned the ball over three times in this game alone. Panthers get a big 31-28 win with a well-deserved bye week before a big matchup at New Orleans in the Bayou against the Saints. It goes without saying that that's going to be huge. Like, that you have to find a way to win that game. And then you have two against the Bucks and one against the Seahawks to close things out. Bucks are getting healthier. They're going to bring Mike Evans back, is my understanding, at some point. Or I think I saw something along those lines earlier this week. So it'll be interesting to see what him and Godwin's timeline looks like from an injury standpoint, because that's really hindered the Bucks to the fullest of their abilities and what they've been able to become. Godwin with three grabs for 78 yards last week, but still is banged up and was limping off the field at one point and limping back on the field. So the Bucks are just trying to hold it together by a shoestring from a health standpoint. Baker playing last week was mind-boggling to me. I don't know how he went from being in a sling to playing in an NFL game, but he did that, and he played pretty darn well as well against the Arizona Cardinals. So there's a lot to play for in the future for both the Bucks and the Panthers, but if you're a Panthers fan, you need to be rooting against Tampa Bay the rest of the way. That goes without saying, and you need to be a Houdat fan this week because they've got the Saints. Man, the Bucks have four division games in the final 5 weeks. They have Saints, Falcons, Panthers, Dolphins, Panthers. So it's all out there to play for both of these teams down the stretch.
Say those five again.
Saints, Falcons, Panthers, Dolphins, Panthers. About as easy as you could get.
Goodness gracious, is that a favorable draw?
Yeah, it is.
The only way that's more favorable is if you get the Falcons twice.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, I mean, I think it's all out in front of there to play for Carolina. And we talked about splitting the two games against the West Coast foes. I thought it was going to be the inverse. I thought they were going to beat the Niners and lose to the Rams. But you know what? 1-1 in those two games is a success no matter how you cut it. And you got to handle business against the Saints to get to 8-6. And then you've got three games for your season that are all playoff games. That's the way that I view it at that point. So it's time to go earn your keep if you're Bryce Young, and it's time to go earn your keep if you're Dave Canales. You're ahead of schedule, which is a great spot to be in, when you're in the NFL, but that also comes with increased pressure and expectations as a byproduct of that. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Panthers fare down the stretch. I do think the bye week to get a little bit healthier is going to benefit them. Have we noticed the Colts are collapsing? I want to give a little bit of time to this in this division as a whole. Texans 20, Colts 16. The Colts have now lost 3 out of 4 games by a combined 14 points. A 7-point loss at the Steelers, a 3-point loss at the Chiefs, and a 4-point loss to the Texans. And all of a sudden, the Houston Texans are only one game back in this division. And you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are tied for the lead in this division. Are the Colts in danger of missing the playoffs? Is that a real conversation that we have to have right now, John?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's a real conversation we have to have right now. This reminder, William Quackenbush will be back on your airwaves today at noon. Yes. Yeah, no, it's absolutely something that needs to be discussed right now with the way the Jaguars are surging, the way that they are falling apart. Yes, absolutely, because I don't view this as a – and I'm looking at the rest of their schedule. Yeah, I mean, you have the game coming up this Sunday that will determine who's leading. I mean, you got two games with the Jaguars. That certainly helps your case, but you don't have an easy opponent the rest of the way. You don't have a get-right spot the rest of the way.
You don't. The Texans are on a four-game win streak.
You've already played the Falcons.
Yeah, and the Jags are on a three-game win streak. Like, it feels like those two teams are peaking while you're declining. Scary feeling. Here's your stat of the day on the Indianapolis Colts. This is my main reason for struggle, and it'll be interesting to hear Quack's commentary from 12-3 to see if he agrees with me. Lowest fourth quarter and overtime QBR this season. Would you like to guess who's dead last in the league?
That would be one Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones at 33.8 in his last two games in the fourth quarter with the Chiefs and the Texans in the fourth quarter and overtime. Daniel Jones is 5 of 15 through the air. They have gained one first down in the passing game in the last two games of the fourth quarter and overtime.
Boy, it seems like it was 7 years ago when the Colts were going through entire offensive games without punting.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Good thing they decided not to give Daniel Jones a contract extension during that nice little run there in September, October.
I was going to say, that definitely is nice for the Colts. The Colts rest of the way, as we alluded to, you get the two against the Jaguars, but you also have the Texans, the Seahawks, and the Niners. Not exactly an easy way to stick the landing if you're Shane Steichen and then the Indianapolis Colts. And while Steichen was the front runner for Coach of the Year for the longest time, and I still don't think a lot of this is his fault, him and Ballard did enter this season on the hot seat, John, and that does seem something worth acknowledging right now. A collapse is how you get fired in this league, and that's what the Colts are in the midst of. I really like Shane. I really like this Colts team. I still believe that they're going to turn it around, and this is ultimately a good football team. They have had some brutal injury luck combined with some really bad game luck hit at the worst possible time, and now there's rancid vibes and momentum down the stretch, whereas two other teams in their division seem to be peaking. Things are pointing up for the Texans and Jags and pointing down for the Colts. We're going to see if they can turn that narrative around. Dolphins 21, Saints 17. I'm only mentioning this because every single graphic I see still has the Dolphins as the last team, quote-unquote, in the hunt, and they just keep winning. I got to give credit to Mike McDaniel here. They've rallied the troops. They've won three consecutive games against the Bills, the Commanders, and the Saints, and what an easier way to get a fourth consecutive win than going on the road to New York to MetLife to the Jets, who are actively trying to lose football games. I think there's a legitimate chance here. Well, with that being said, they did beat the Falcons. Sorry, Falcons fans. That was an unnecessary stray. But I do think the Dolphins are in good position to get their fourth straight win this weekend, and maybe they play their way into this wild card picture. They're still being included in the graphics. That means something.
Right now, if we had the NFL draft today, the Dolphins would be picking 12th.
Oh, that's a nightmare. That's purgatory. They're in the worst spot possible.
We have a situation with a couple weeks of data that the Chiefs could have a higher draft pick than the Dolphins.
What?
The Chiefs are 6-6. The Dolphins are 5-7.
That's true. I'm having trouble processing that.
By the way, right now, the Atlanta Falcons pick would be 9th overall that would be given to the Rams.
Why on earth Falcons, man? Gosh almighty.
But hey, you've had two pass rushers with four sacks or more for the first time since 1988. Let's go, Falcons.
You have. That is a true thing.
That's so necessary and needed when you're 4-8.
When you're 4-8 and paying a quarterback $50 million, and yeah.
Hey, at least you're playing him.
Yeah. At least you are playing him now because your franchise guy that you took number 8 after paying, your other franchise guy tore his ACL. I'm so sorry, Falcons fans. Pour one out, and I really do empathize with y'all. Nobody deserves this as of right now.
I think pouring one out for Falcons fans is, you know, being mean to Falcons fans. They need it.
Don't waste it. I love that angle. I love that angle for sure. A bunch of texts have gotten in asking us to talk about the Patriots. It does feel like it's the right thing to do as they have the best record in the NFL right now at 11-2. They just keep winning. They just keep winning, and Drake May continues to play good football. Jets, Bengals, Giants, 3 in a row now for the Patriots, and really it's, what is it, 9 in a row dating back to the Panthers win?
10 in a row.
10 in a row? Goodness gracious. This team's on fire right now, man. Yeah, I got to give credit where it's due.
They are best record in football. It has certainly helped last night that, you know, everyone, you look up on any talk show today, boy, they're getting a lot of credit for some real Giantsness taking place last night in the football field.
Yeah, like punt return touchdown.
Like Younghoe Koo tripping into the grass and not even getting the kickoff. I thought he stopped playing for the Falcons. He's acting like he's a member of the Falcons out there. Goodness gracious.
So many Falcon strays on the program this morning. I love it.
It's easy. The Falcons are doing Falcons things. It makes it really easy.
It does make it really easy. The Patriots are in for a big test next week at home against a Buffalo Bills squad that confuses me, to be honest, is kind of where I'm at on the Bills.
Like, I'm not talking about the Bills today.
The Bills have some of the best wins in football and some of the worst losses in football simultaneously. Confusing team. Very confusing team. Yeah, that's all I really have to say about Buffalo right now is they confuse me, and I hope that Josh Allen can get it right headed into the playoffs. In your divisional race right now with the Steelers, it's a bunch of mid, to be honest with you. No offense.
No offense taken. Happy birthday, Aaron Rodgers, turning 42 today. This is the Ravens division. Just go ahead and give it to him. We don't need to play it out the rest of the way. And in terms of wild card teams, I'd much rather see the Chargers, the loser of the Colts, Jags, back and forth, or the Bills get in there way more so than the Steelers.
So I think I have the next question, the answer to the next question. You're not giving the Steelers any chance this weekend on the road in Baltimore?
Oh, gosh, no.
Even after the Baltimore
choke job against
Cincinnati?
No. They're going to right the ship there. I don't care who's playing quarterback for Pittsburgh. I see one win the rest of the way at Cleveland.
Oof. So is Tomlin streaks in big-time jeopardy, you think?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And as much as I love Mike Tomlin, I think he has been absolutely fantastic for this franchise and this organization. I think the full reset is rapidly approaching.
I agree with that. The Chargers got back on track because the Raiders are a get-right spot for everybody. 31-14, not much to talk about there. That Raiders team is the worst one I've seen in a long, long time in the NFL. Broncos and Commanders. The Broncos skate by the skin of their teeth by one. Mariota had the look on the game-winning two-point conversion in overtime. Denver made an incredible play to deflect the pass out of Mariota's hands. Bo Nix is playing good football. Bo Nix can only play when his team is trailing. Have you seen his stats this year when his team is behind? I want to say
I have not.
He's 12 touchdowns, one pick when his team is trailing this year and has like some of the best fourth quarter stats in league history right now. When the fourth quarter flips, Bo Nix is just an unbelievable quarterback. The other three quarters, it's Bo Nix. But they're 10-2, and I think the Broncos deserve an immense amount of credit. And John, if we want to talk about teams that have found a way to win close, let's take a trip down memory lane for this Broncos team. 1-point win at the Commanders. The week prior, 3-point win against the Chiefs, 3-point win against the Raiders, 3-point win against the Texans. They beat the Giants by 1, they beat the Jets by 2, and they beat the Eagles by 4. 7 of their 10 wins have come with a margin of 3 points or less for the victory. Unbelievable stuff transpiring. Sean Payton's done a heck of a job with that group. I'm not sure what I think about this team headed into the playoffs, if you want me to be completely honest with you, but what I do know is that's a hard place to go play, and if they keep winning in the regular season, they're going to book into themselves a couple home playoff games, and that could be a tough team to beat come playoff time with the way that defense is playing.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a defense you do not want to face if you're in a cold weather situation. Oh, like Denver. They are built for the playoffs. We have a text grid here say the Broncos are fraudulent. I believe that. I don't know, man. I keep finding ways to get things done. Like you said, he's 12 touchdowns, one interception when they're trailing?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they're legitimate.
Yeah, they look really good, man. They look really good. It's going to be interesting. I think that that's a team that is draw reliant. If they get a certain matchup at home in the playoffs, I'm going to pick them to win a playoff game or two. Like Stephen A. Smith's doing his top five NFL teams. I don't think that's worth anything, to be honest with you. He has the Broncos at 3 and the Bears at 4, so take that for what it's worth. Jeff Saturday's got the Broncos at 3, the Bears at 5. I don't know if I agree with either of those two teams being top five teams, but again, as I said earlier in the program, there is more parity this year in the NFL than maybe I have ever seen, and it's unbelievable to me what we're kind of seeing as far as so many teams jam-packed in like sardines, finding ways to win games down the stretch. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable for sure. Texter says Tomlin will be a great fit in Atlanta. I could see that. Yeah, that seems like a stabilization that the Falcons franchise could use. Maybe he goes college ball. I don't know. Maybe Tomlin stays. I think there's a lot up in the air, but we're going to let it play out with the Steelers this weekend.
The timeline would be interesting. If he decided to get in college, he'd have to make that decision very
soon,
very quickly.
Yeah.
Boy, would that ruffle some feathers there in Pittsburgh if he left the week of the Ravens game.
It would. It would definitely ruffle some feathers, and that much is for certain. All right, let's take a quick early break. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to get in. We'll go around the horn. We'll talk a little bit of hoops and more in the final segment of the program with Faxon and John.
Football season's in full swing, folks, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. And Feast Week is back, which means it's an even better time to get in on the action, because from November 26th through November 30th, you can check the app daily for special promos. I love playing Underdog. It's a great place to play for as little as a dollar. You just go higher or lower on stats for your favorite player, like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, and more. College football and the NFL, I'm all over it. If you get your picks right, you play a little better than I do, you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. Right now, here's what you need to know. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code OOB to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/websites/playing-get-terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
As the weather gets colder and sports now moves to games on hardwood floors, gridirons, and more, at Straight Up Sports, we will keep the full court press on with weekly series from legendary writers Bob Gillespie and Scott Kiefer, plus input from Mark Sturges and more. You'll get that story written like days gone by. There's also new links and videos added to the site every week as well. You can catch this all-star lineup at Straight Up Sports on Facebook or online at straightupsports.net.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the ultimate lunch lineup boasts wall-to-wall sports and scenic views. When you're hungry and in a hurry, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local Lodge.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac Home Standby Generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac Home Standby Generator. For a free estimate today, call Central Electrical Services, the full service and warranty dealer for Generac Home Standby Generators, at 864-556-8002.
Discover the best-kept golf and dining secret located in Oconee County off I-85 at Exit 1. Chickasaw Point, with breathtaking golf on the hills course to scrumptious dining at Overlook Restaurant and Bar. It's unlike any golf course you've played anywhere in the upstate. Reserve Overlook Restaurant for a meeting, wedding, birthday, or anniversary. Enjoy lunch and dinner selections from executive chef Amanda Lewis. For Overlook, go to ChickasawPoint.com, and for golf, ChickasawPointGolf.com.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have two-stall, three-stall, and four-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
Roosters wants to help you give the perfect gift this holiday season. Stuff those stockings with gift cards and shave kits and get their gift boxes for under the tree. Get 10% off products from now until the 24th of December. Give your dad or man in your life the gift of feeling good this season at Roosters. Roosters Men's Grooming Center, located on 3935 Pelham Road in Greenville, South Carolina. Call them at 884-8920 for your next appointment.
Upstate Cycle in Greenville is celebrating 46 years in business. Looking for easier parking with 80 to 100 miles per gallon? Then check out our wide selection of scooters. With many styles, colors, and price ranges to choose from, we stand behind the quality of each scooter with a comprehensive warranty and dedicated service. With an assortment of accessories, a broad range of parts, we have you covered. Delivery is available. And don't forget to ask about our layaway plan. Call 864-232-7223 for more information.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
Final segment of the show on a Tuesday with Faxon Childress and John Hite right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Real quick before we get into the action, Morgan Coleman Real Estate. That's where you need to go now into the winter market in December. Get with Morgan Coleman. Sellers' homes are prepped to list. Buyers are ready to purchase. Clemson women's soccer alumna Morgan Coleman is ready to assist your buying or selling needs. And, of course, talk some Clemson football. I'm sure she's got opinions on the bowl game, the portal cycle, and more. And she's going to bring a team-oriented approach to you and your real estate needs. Buying, selling, getting ahead, getting early, all of that she can take care of for you. And all you have to do, Morgan Coleman Real Estate on Google, folks. She's going to make your life so easy when it comes to the buying and selling process with your home or prepping your home to sell. Morgan Coleman's got you taken care of. Go local, go with a tiger, and go with an expert by searching Morgan Coleman Real Estate on Google. John, around the horn, we'll throw things to you. Where are we starting out here in the final segment of the program?
Give us a rundown again for those who missed it in the first segment of the program. What's going on in the world of hoops tonight? Tomorrow we are entering the ACC-SEC Challenge, but that's not the only basketball that's being played.
Yes, let's get in for tonight. Let's start with Iowa, who is undefeated with Ben McCollum going on the road to undefeated Michigan State, and that's unbelievable.
We have games that are live right now.
We do?
The Virginia Lynchburg and Western Carolina are playing right now. That is at half. George Washington and Army are playing right now. George Washington up 40-34 with 1:10 left to go in the first half there.
How about that?
So if you got a little ESPN Plus, you can watch some live hoops. You can even watch a little Charleston Southern and UT Martin getting started here at the top of the hour.
Yeah, that's wow.
For those of you who claim that you're sickos, right, and will watch anything that is on, prove it.
I might be tuning into Charleston Southern UT Martin later today. We'll see if that's on the itinerary when I get back home. That is pretty funny, though. Iowa-Michigan State on Peacock tonight. That's going to be a good one. Bennett Sturds is an NBA guard for Iowa. Ben McCollum, the Drake coach, taking the trip to Iowa. Phenomenal coach. I don't know how they're not ranked. I think that's ludicrous and absolutely bonkers. But that's going to be a good one tonight with Michigan State as a 5.5-point favorite. As far as the ACC-SEC Challenge goes, again, we have Tennessee and Syracuse, ESPN2 at 7. Tennessee, a 7.5-point road favorite. Something tells me Syracuse covers that spread. Not sure who wins the game. Favorite play of the night is Virginia Tech over South Carolina. I think South Carolina is terrible. Their front court is a joke. VT's got a European kid that's really good. He plays like Luka Doncic. He's nowhere near as good as Luka Doncic, but aesthetically, you'll see it when you see him. He plays like him. Like, he's got the
ISO. Does he play defense like him?
Oh, yeah. He plays complete Ole defense. It's perfect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a Luka clone, except he's significantly worse, but aesthetically, he looks the exact same.
God, he's going to look good in a Mavericks uniform.
He is. Somebody tell Will Clanton that his replacement's at Virginia Tech. And the young man is by the name, and again, I might be butchering this, Neokalis Avdalis, the freshman from Kalamata, Greece, 6'9", 215. Kid's electric, man. Kid's absolutely electric. So he's going to be a fun watch for VT all year. I think VT takes care of business against South Carolina fairly large. That front court for South Carolina is just atrocious. Don't know what Lamont was thinking in the portal. ACC Network, 7 p.m. Oklahoma's at Wake Forest. I think Wake Forest is a tournament team this year. Purdue transfer Miles Colvin. It's really paid dividends for them thus far. I think this is the year for Forbes at Wake Forest, and if it's not, he's probably getting fired.
Really quick, I want to hop back into that. I just want to let our Georgia fan friends know that five-star quarterback Jared Curtis has officially flipped his commitment to Vanderbilt moments ago.
Wow, that's huge. Vandy, we turn.
So five-star quarterback Jared Curtis has flipped his commitment moments ago from Georgia to Vanderbilt.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. Shout out to Vanderbilt. They're really building a nice program there, and it's easy to see why Clark Lay signed that extension. They've got resources, they've got facilities, and more. So it's a fun time to be in Nashville. I think Wake takes care of Oklahoma tonight. Oklahoma's got a pretty good squad. Porter Moser's a good coach, but Wake's got the better team. Texas A&M's at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh had a really rough portal cycle. I don't like their roster. They're 3.5-point home dogs, but I do have to give Pitt credit. They got up off the mat and got a pretty big win the other day against Ohio State, 67-66, after losing to Quinnipiac and UCF back-to-back. They also got the doors blown off them early in the season against West Virginia. I think that's a coin flip game tonight. I'm not a big Buckyball guy for Texas A&M, and I don't love their roster either, so that's one that probably has the least intrigue on the slate for me tonight. Don't watch that one on ESPNU. Florida-Duke at 7:30 is where your appointment television is. Cam Boozer's the best player in the country. I think he's the favorite to go number one right now. Him and Darren Peterson are kind of where I'm at for 1A, 1B. Peterson, the guard at Kansas, obviously, that's unbelievable. Boozer's one of the most impactful college players I've ever seen already. I mean, he just completely took over the game against an Arkansas team that's got three or four NBA players on it the other day in the United Center. Boozer's a treat. Duke's guards are good. Duke's really good. You don't need me to tell you that at home. They're an 8.5-point favorite against Florida tonight. I think they take care of business in Cameron Indoor Stadium. Miami on the road at Ole Miss. Jai Lucas, former Duke assistant. He's done a really good job, man. I love Jai Lucas. I think he's one of the rising stars in this industry. I think Miami goes on the road and wins this one tonight, John. I like this Miami group. I think they've got a good team. Ole Miss, not overly sold on. They are 5-0 at home, but that needs to be taken with a grain of salt due to level of competition. Georgia's at Florida State. This one's confusing to me. I lean Georgia, who's 7-1 with their lone loss to Clemson. But with the way that Florida State plays, it's so volatile and up and down that if they catch lightning in a bottle and have a good shooting game, they can flood you out of the gym in a hurry. On the inverse of that, things can happen where the shots aren't falling and they lose by 40 like they did to Texas A&M the other day. So that's what you get when you get the NBA style. You get the ups and the downs, which is why people joke it's the National Blowout Association nowadays, because that's what it's turned into. It's a bunch of threes. It's up and down the court the whole game. And if you knock down your shots, you're going to flood your opponent. If you don't knock down your shots, you're going to get flooded. So we'll see who's knocking down shots tonight. Chauncey Wiggins is having a decent little season. Robert McCray, that's the player to watch tonight for Florida State. He's the best player on the court. Point guard that's unbelievable. And I really enjoy watching him play. Texter gets in and says, he'll come back when he sees his transcript. I like that. A&M blitzed FSU Friday. That's what Jed said. Yes, but again, I think that's more to do with FSU and less to do with A&M. I don't like Bucky and I don't like A&M. Texter says, is Boozer the Duke's Boozer from Duke the son of Carlos Boozer? Yes, and they're twins. It's Cam and Caden, I think. Cam's the good one. Caden's the one that needs a little bit more development. But Cam Boozer is going to go number one or number two in the draft. I have an immense amount of confidence with saying that. So, yeah, it's he's really good.
Who will
good,
be
man.
Drafted higher, he or Peter Woods?
Him. Boozer will be drafted higher. Boozer's going number one or number two for sure, provided he doesn't have some injury. Knock on wood there. Missouri is at Notre Dame. Don't have a lean in that one. I think Mizzou's better, but Notre Dame's at home. Shrewsbury's a good coach. Burton can put the ball in the hoop. Not a lot to be said there. North Carolina and Kentucky. UNC doesn't necessarily move me. Kentucky's played like crap this year, and they're dealing with injuries, so this is an information gathering game as far as I'm concerned. No play here for me on this one. I don't know what to make of this Kentucky team, John, and I don't know what to make of this North Carolina team. I know Caleb Wilson's very good, but I'm not 100% sure what in the world's going on with the scenario right now for North Carolina. I just, when I watch them, they don't look like they're playing with cohesion as a team. They had a players-only meeting 5 games into the season and hadn't lost a game yet. That tells you that something's wrong.
The only thing, you're talking about at North Carolina?
Yeah.
The only thing that matters to me in Kentucky, North Carolina tonight, and saw this a little bit ago on Twitter, that Dick Vitale is making his return to Rupp Arena for the first time since February 22nd of 2020 for Kentucky versus Florida. I'm here for more Dick Vitale. Had the pleasure of getting to meet him several years ago. The work that he does in raising money for cancer is incredible. I want him in calling games as long as he wants to call games, as long as he can physically call games. So the fact that we have Dick Vitale there tonight, I know he is not everybody's cup of tea, but I am here for it. I'm glad to see that he will be calling the game tonight for two of the blue bloods of the sport.
Oh, yeah. Dickie V's a legend, man. He's a legend. He might not be your cup of tea, but he's irrefutably a legend, regardless of whether you like him or you don't. Really good for the game, man. Really good for the game. Jed points out something that's very important with North Carolina, which is that Seth Trimble is still hurt, and that does make a big impact on the dynamic of this team. But I don't know. Like, Vsar is just so inconsistent and up and down with his effort level on the glass. I've got a lot of trepidation back in that North Carolina team this year. I don't know. Something's off for me. I don't think the guards are good enough. And Jed also points out that UNC was dominated by Michigan State on Thursday. Yeah, that was a drubbing. Good Lord. Izzo ran circles around it. Hubert Davis. Wednesday slate of games, John, for ACC-SEC Challenge. hopefully we're going to get to a lot of this tomorrow. Louisville's at Arkansas. That is the game to watch for me in a split screen with the Clemson game. You're not going to get better guard play in a singular game this year than you will get in Louisville and Arkansas. Not hyperbolic. NBA players all over the floor. NBA guards all over the floor. NBA lead guards all over the floor. If you like guard play, Louisville and Arkansas is your destination. And on the flip side of that, Alabama also has NBA guards in Filon and Holloway against Clemson on ESPNU at 7:15. I would suggest pausing the television for a second, getting the radio call with Don Munson and Tim Bure, linking that up, and then just hit play on that sucker. That's what I do for every game that Clemson plays on TV that I can't attend. That's what I would do if I were you at home as well, because Don and Tim do a great job on the call. So make sure you tune into that right here on The Roar tomorrow night at 7:15. We'll also be on the U on national television as a part of the ACC-SEC Men's Challenge. And John, we'll give a little bit of a breakdown here because we'll get into the weeds on it tomorrow. I think Clemson has a lot better chance than people are giving them in this game to take down Alabama. And I think my reason for that is there is a blueprint that has been laid out on how to beat this Alabama team. And we have seen it with Purdue, and we have seen it with Gonzaga. Are Purdue and Gonzaga better basketball teams than Clemson? Yes, but Purdue does not have an overwhelming amount of size in comparison to what Clemson brings to the table. Purdue beat Alabama on the glass 52-28. They completely pounded them on the glass. And then you look at Gonzaga as well and what they were able to do on the glass. They beat them 48-36 on the glass.
What that tells me is Nick Davidson cannot have an MIA game tomorrow night. Yes. He has to be a factor. Has to be a factor. 100%. If not, I don't like Clemson's chances.
Davidson's got to play well. Godfrey and Welling have to attack the glass. The guards have to attack the glass. Zach Foster has to play defense without fouling so he can stay on the court and provide his offensive prowess to this team. Goes without saying that Bama's an unbelievably good team, right? They've got the NBA style as well with Oates. We all know that they're going to run and gun. They're going to chuck a million threes. LeBron Filon Jr. is an NBA guard. He's really, really good. Aiden Holloway is an NBA guard. He's really, really good. But they are very reliant on those two to represent the lion's share of their production on the offensive end. It's not to say that some of these other guys can't beat you, right? Because they want to play with so many possessions that they're getting in the hundreds consistently with points. Taylor Bowen, good player. Houston Millett, Pepperdine transfer, good player. Aiden Sherrill, good player. But these guys are not going to overwhelm Clemson from a talent perspective, as you may anticipate, because that little number by their name. If Clemson can play the game on their terms, and what I mean by that is you need to go back to the blueprint that you had 2 years ago in the regular season where you went to Tuscaloosa and won 85-76, slowed the game down, low possession, you're crashing the defensive glass, you're managing the game. If you let Alabama get loose like they did in the second half against you in the Elite Eight, where they're going up and down and chucking a million threes, you're going to lose the game and you're going to be in trouble. So Clemson has to protect the ball, no live ball turnovers, crash the glass and limit Bama to one possession. And I think they've got a puncher's chance tomorrow in Tuscaloosa, and maybe even little more than a puncher's chance. I think Clemson can win this game. I really do. But you have to play very meticulous against Alabama because they can hit you with a 9-0 run so quick you don't even know what happened, John.
No, absolutely. You got to go down there. You got to take your best basketball down to Tuscaloosa for sure if you want to be able to come out with a win.
Yeah.
Have to do it.
Front court players have to play well. It goes without saying. Other games in the ACC-SEC Challenge on the horizon tomorrow night. LSU-Boston College, don't watch it. Not worth it. 9:15 p.m. SEC Network. SMU-Vanderbilt. Said before the season, my guy Odge, that we're going to have on frequently throughout the college basketball season, he told me to watch out for this Vandy team in the preseason, and he knows ball. So I listened to him. I'm all in on this Vandy team. They opened as number 4 in the net. John, this team is unbelievable. You want to talk pace? They're playing with like the highest pace of play in the country right now. They're running and gunning up the floor. Let me check how many points per game this Vanderbilt team is averaging because it's absolutely comical. Right now, they've got players that they have 4 players averaging double figures, 3 more averaging 8.5 or more. They're averaging 97.9 points per game as a team. 97.9. As a team, they are shooting 40% from three and 52% from the field. This Vanderbilt team's unbelievable. I think they're going to clobber SMU. I haven't seen a line yet. I would take Vandy, whatever the number is, in that one.
Really quick before we get out of here, a little bit more football breaking news this morning. Boston College AD Blake James confirms not only is Bill O'Brien going to return next year, but also that Boston College is going to severely ramp up its financial spending. They admitted that, yes, they did partake in revenue sharing last year. They are going to the full allotment. They are going to be maxing out their revenue share starting next year to be on par with all of the other Power Four schools around. and also that they have received a $50 million challenge to match on a one-for-one basis over the next 5 years with new endowment gifts for athletics. So maybe a little slow to the party. It looks like BC is finally going to start pushing its financial chips in and funding this program.
Good, because everybody up there right now in their athletic department is coaching at a suicide job. Like, it's an impossible job to succeed in.
I know Bill O'Brien can't be is not everyone's cup of tea, but, man, it's hard to get a real read if he's the guy or not for the job if you're not giving him funding in which to field a roster.
He doesn't have a team. They have the worst women's basketball P4 team I may have ever seen. Like, seriously. I feel bad for Joanna. She does a great job up there, but she's being thrown to the Wolves, too. Earl Grant, former Brownell assistant coach, he's being thrown to the Wolves. He's got no players. So, yeah, long overdue for some money to be pumped into BC. John, great job on the program. Everybody that called and texted in, we thank you guys. William Quackenbush and Ben Mills set up next with Out of Bounds. Don't turn the dial. You'll want to hear from them. Thank you, guys.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT.